Well, good morning and welcome to Kingston West Free Methodist Church on this Sunday, August the 29th. Boy, almost through summer here, and I hope you've had a good summer and you've enjoyed it. Just a couple of quick announcements, and that is prayer meeting continues on Zoom every Thursday. And all the King's Men's, there's an event coming up on September the 11th. And you can see your bulletin for the information on how to register, or you could talk to Pastor Keith, as he still oversees our men's ministry. Our call to worship today comes from Psalm 18, verses 1 and 2. I love you, Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. My God is my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield, and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Let us pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we have to gather in this way and to worship you. And we thank you that you are present with us no matter where we are at. And may you be exalted and may you be glorified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading today comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 7, and it's verses 15 to 23, and it's entitled "The Tree and Its Fruit." Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit you will recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, we did not prophesy in your name. Did we not prophesy in your name and in your name drive out demons and perform many miracles? Then I will tell them plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evildoers. May the Lord speak to us through this, his word. Let us pray together. Gracious Father, we thank you for this time that we have to worship you. We thank you that you are attentive to all of our needs, that you desire, Lord, what's best for each and every one of us. Help us, Lord, to always keep our eyes upon you. Help us to follow you in your ways, to live our lives before our families, our neighbors, our friends, our co-workers, to live our lives in ways that bring glory and honor to you. So we thank you. Thank you that you journey with us. Thank you, Lord, again, that I know there are many needs of the people in our own church family and people who are watching this this video broadcast of our service today. And Lord, you know each person. You know each need. And we just ask, Lord, in this moment of silence, as we lift our needs up to you, that you would hear those needs. Thank you, Father. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for guiding us. Thank you for leading us. And thank you for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, that we may, as we place our trust in what he did for us on the cross at Calvary, taking our sin upon himself to pay the price once and for all. And because of that, we have relationship with you, Heavenly Father. And we thank you for that. Renew our strength. Guide us as we go forward. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this morning, I'm going to introduce my sermon in a rather odd way. I hope that it doesn't make you uncomfortable because this illustration, I believe, may inspire us and challenge us as we strive to live a life without regrets. This morning, we're going to go on a journey together. We're going to go to a funeral, and it's yours. Doesn't that sound like fun? What's more, you get to witness the entire service. As you slip in the back door and take your seat, you see that the altar is covered with flowers, the music is playing softly, and the church is full of people who have come to bid you farewell. There have been four people asked to make a few remarks about you. Who do you think they might be? Well, the first is a member of your family. The second is one of your friends. The third is someone you work with. And the fourth is someone from church. They're all going to say a few things about you, and everything they say will be absolutely 100% true. Now think for a minute. What would you like each speaker to be able to say about you? What kind of person do you want them to say that you were? What kind of husband, wife, father, or mother? What kind of friend or fellow worker? What would you want them to say about your character? Which achievements would you want them to mention? As you look around at the people who are there, what difference would you like to have made in their lives? What phrases would you like to hear? Maybe something like, he was a hard worker, or she always had a smile, or you could depend on him for anything, he never let me down, or I've never met a more honest person, or she was generous and caring. Stephen Covey, the author of Seven Habits of Highly Effective People, says that thinking through these questions, deciding what you would want people to say at your funeral, can help you determine your purpose in life. Thinking through these questions will also help you make plans for the future so that you don't find yourself someday looking back on your life and regretting those things you did and didn't do. So today we're beginning a new series called The Business of Living. It's a series on managing the responsibilities that you have in life. Stewardship is another word for it. And during the next 4 weeks, we will examine what the Bible says about managing your career, your money, your spiritual life, your relationships. And today we'll examine what the Bible says about planning for the future. In planning your life, there are two mistakes to avoid. One is to spend your whole life focusing on the future to the extent that you miss out on the significance of today. And the other is to spend your life living only for today with total disregard for the future. The Bible warns against both. There is, however, a happy medium, a balance that can be achieved. This is it. Live today like it matters for all eternity, because it does. Each day of our lives has eternal significance. What you do today will make a difference in how you perceive the value of your life when your time on earth is through. What's more, what you do today will continue to be significant in the future, having impacts that can stretch for hundreds and even thousands of years from now. The Bible says, the wisdom of the prudent is to give thought to their ways, Proverbs 14:8. We're going to look at some ways to manage your life today in a way that will help you reach your goals and accomplish things that last far beyond your lifetime. Maybe you wasted yesterday. Maybe you wasted all your yesterdays. But keep in mind, today is yours. All we really have is today. Yesterday's gone and tomorrow never comes. So therefore, we need to live in the moment in a way that will positively impact our tomorrows. You can take charge of today, doing things to ensure that you get the most out of today. And in the process, you will help shape your future towards what you desire it to be. Here are three things you can do to plan a life without regrets. First of all, decide what kind of person you want to be and do something today to make it true. What kind of person do you want to be? If someone were to speak at your funeral, what would you want them to be able to say truthfully about you? We need to remember that one answer isn't better than another. You see, we'll all answer this question based on what values are the most important to us. For example, as we read the writings of Paul, it's obvious that he placed a great deal of importance on consistency and faithfulness. Near the end of his ministry, he wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, "I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful." Earlier in his ministry, Paul said in Acts chapter 20, verse 24, "I consider my life worth nothing to me if only I may finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the gospel of God's grace." If you were to ask Paul the question, "What do you want to be true about you?" he would most likely say, "I want to be faithful to the very end." How did he make sure that this happened? Well, he knew what kind of person he wanted to be, and every day he did something to make it true. That's what he said in 1 Corinthians 9:27. "I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself might be disqualified." Paul is using a metaphor in this verse. The point he is making is that in order to be found faithful at the end of his race, he had to be faithful today. He lived every day like it has eternal significance. You're probably aware that, you know, Bill Gates is certainly one of the richest people in the world. He's, of course, worth billions of dollars. In the past, he was criticized for not being generous with his wealth. His response was always, "In the future, I plan to make significant contributions." Now, I share this not to criticize him. After all, it's his money to do with as he desires. I share it to make a point. You see, if Bill Gates, or anyone in the world, is serious about becoming a generous person, he or she should start being generous today. Just so you don't think badly about Mr. Gates, he has changed his thinking and has made significant contributions to charity today. My point is not to look at other people's flaws. My point is to give an example, but then to direct the question back to you and I. Do you want to live a life of significance? Then do something significant today. Do you want to be generous? Then be generous today. Do you want to be known as a kind person? Then be kind today. Whatever you want to be true about you, do something today to start making it true. In fact, I would like to give you a little homework assignment to work on this week. Now, I want you to know that all of you have many wonderful qualities, but I also know, at least for myself, I always have room for improvement. So this little homework assignment can be done to help fine-tune your qualities. Or maybe for some of you, there is a quality that you'd like to implement into your life. So today, after you go home, I would encourage you to think of the three most important character qualities you would like to develop further in your life. And then for the next week or few weeks even, I want you to try to do at least one thing each day that will move you in the direction of developing that quality and making it more of a reality in your life. For example, if you want to be an encourager, then for the next several weeks, go out of your way to encourage someone at least once each day. If you do this with each quality at the end of the assignment, you will have taken some major steps forward. This seems simple, but it does work. People who live lives of significance don't get there by accident. They get there by effort. The Bible says, Proverbs 14, verse 15, "The simple believe anything, but the prudent give thought to their steps." Secondly, in planning a life without regrets, you must focus on what you want to give rather than what you want to get. I've been to a couple of those goal-setting seminars, and the leader nearly always encourages people to make a wish list of things that they want to have. They always urge you to state it in the positive, like you've already received it, such as, I earn $150,000 a year, or I own a brand new Mercedes, or I live in a 6,000-foot square home. See, the main problem with this kind of goal setting, aside from the fact that I think it's just silly, is that the entire focus is on what you get. There is a big difference between having things and living a life of significance. Try a different approach, a different focus. Instead of setting a goal for how much money you will get, set a goal for how much money you will give. Or instead of setting a goal for a certain promotion, set a goal for what you could do to make yourself more valuable as an employee. Some people spend their entire lives working jobs they despise because it offers security. It enables them to have things. Take my word for it. Things aren't worth it. Things don't make your life significant. Things are not the North American dream as they try to sell us. They're actually the North American deception. The significance you have in life is determined by what you do, what you give, not what you get. The Bible says in Proverbs 11:4, riches won't help you on the day of judgment, but right living can save you from death. What's Solomon saying? Well, he's reminding us that that what you do is more important than what you have. It's your accomplishments, not your acquisitions, that give your life significance. Think about what you want to accomplish, what you want to do with your life. Choose to do something you love. I read about a father who was upset about his son's choice to become a family doctor. He said that his son wanted to be a general practitioner, but he wanted him to specialize in something, anything, because specialists, they make more money. See, the father's priorities are a little mixed up. It's not as if a general practitioner is at risk of starving. Anyone who graduates from medical school is pretty much assured a fairly comfortable living. Instead of pursuing money, pursue a career that you love. Loving your job is far more important than being able to afford a bigger house or a nicer car. We're going to talk more about your relationship to work in a couple of weeks. The principle here, though, is simple. To live a life of significance, do what you love. Success, rewards, money, promotions, they may or may not happen. Do what you love, and your life will have impact. I believe with all my heart that if you are committed to doing God's will in your life, God will give you a dream of what you can accomplish, and he will give you the ability to do it. If your focus is on accomplishing something good rather than accomplishing or accumulating things. The Bible says, Proverbs 11:23, the desire of the righteous ends only in good. If you're committed to doing God's will, he will give you a dream of what you can accomplish in life. Third way you can create a significant life is to look for eternal significance in all that you do. There's three bricklayers, and they were asked what they were doing. One said, I'm laying bricks. Another said, I make $20 an hour. The third said, I'm building a cathedral for the glory of God. All three were doing the same job, yet all three had a different perspective about it. The key to significance, to living a satisfying life without regrets, is in recognizing the eternal value of the little things that you do. A young widow told the following story about a year after her husband, Tim, had passed away. She and her family were having Thanksgiving dinner, and everyone was saying what they were thankful for. Her 8-year-old son said, I'm thankful for the days that Dad went outside and played catch with me. The woman said, Tim's office was at the house. Whenever a client missed an appointment, he would take Michael outside to play catch. He did it to diffuse his anger over the client missing a session. He had no idea he was creating a memory that would last a lifetime. Then she said, if he had realized how significant it was, I'm sure he would have done it more often. Every day matters. The details of our lives may seem mundane, but they are filled with eternal significance. We may think we're just killing time, but we could be strengthening the bond of a relationship. It may just seem like small talk to us, but we could be saying something that will change someone's life forever. We may think we're just laying bricks, but we could be building a cathedral for the glory of God. Look for meaning in the little things. We see this principle in the life of Christ again and again. He would have, he'd be having a meal with a friend and turn it into a life-changing experience. He would be walking along the road with his disciples and see a tree and teach his disciples a lesson in faith, as we heard earlier from Matthew 7. Do you want to create a life without regrets? Remember this. There are no throwaway moments. Every day matters. Look for the eternal significance in your work, your words, your relationships, and your actions. Each year, there is a sand sculpting contest near the ocean in Newport Beach, California. Artists, they create incredible works of art, castles, faces, dragons, cars, and so on. All of them are built with sand. It takes incredible talent to be able to do this, and thousands of visitors come each year to ooh and ah over these masterpieces. However, if you go visit that same stretch of beach a few days after the competition, you'll see that all these magnificent works of art are gone. The beach looks like it did before the contest. Those incredible works of art have all been washed away by the tide. Your life doesn't have to be that way. It doesn't have to be washed away and forgotten. You can live a life of significance. You can become the person you want to be. You can accomplish what you want to accomplish. The key is to live today like it matters for all of eternity, because it does. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we hear these words and we know that they are words that at times we have been very successful in what we have done and how we have served you through whatever was facing us at any moment in time. And there's times when we have failed at this miserably. And Lord, we ask for forgiveness for those times, and we know that today is another day. So as we go from this place today, I pray that we will ponder and reflect and spend time praying and talking to you about areas that are important to us and important to you, and how we can live a life of significance for your glory and honor. Point out those things that we need to maybe work a little harder on, maybe bring something new into our lives, into our thoughts and our minds to do. And Lord, continue to use us for your glory and honor, for we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. As we go today and as we endeavor to live lives of significance, let us receive this benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord turn his face toward you and give you peace. Amen. Have a wonderful week.